Presence of God is so strong. Whew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had church. Everybody got a download. Praise God. Let's go home. Ha ha ha. Telling you the presence of the Lord. So, you know, anytime I minister, I usually just say, Lord, what do you have? What do you have? So I'm ministering this coming Sunday, and the Lord's already told me that's a teaching. Tonight's not a teaching. Tonight isn't a teaching. Tonight is a now word. Seems to be what the Lord likes to give me. Rick constantly reminds me of 1, 2, 3, eyes on me all the time. Every time I'm going through something, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. It always sticks with him. And that's what the Lord, every message that the Lord gives me, I'm realizing it's all about, we're all soldiers in the battle for the Lord. And you have to be prepared. When you're a soldier, you go through training. And he gives us instructions, and he has instructions for each and every one of us. And I realize that these now words are to prepare us, because your commander-in-chief never sends you out not prepared. He never does. He always prepares you. He always tells you what's to come. And I'm not telling you I have a what's to come, but I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. He said, all hands on deck. And I alluded to this morning, all hands on deck. That's all he said. I love when he gives me those things. I'm like, we're not on a boat, but okay, all hands on deck. So I looked up, what's the origin of all hands on deck? Well, obviously, it comes from being on a ship. All hands on deck, right? So all hands on deck. It always meant it was calling for immediate assistance. Something was happening. Immediate assistance. Now, before I go too far in this sermon, the first thing I want to preface it with is, a now word is never condemning. So if you feel condemnation, that is not God. You need to release of it. You need to know that whatever the Lord is giving you tonight is to help you and to encourage you. Because even as I prayed before I came, I said, Lord, I want to encourage, equip, and empower the people. Because that's part of New Freedom's mission. That's what we're called to do. That's what he's given us to do. And you're going to see tonight, as I talk about all hands on deck, all of us have a different part to play. And even at New Freedom Church, New Freedom Church has a place to play in the body of Christ. But we're not going to do it all. There's other bodies in the body of Christ all working together. And I always think about cogwheels of a clock. If you ever watch the mechanics of a cogwheel and a clock, they all have to work together. You get one little thing out, it jams up the whole clock. And I'm telling you, I won't be a part of clogging anything up. Will you?
No.
You want everything to move smoothly. So we have to move smoothly in our own personal lives. We have to move smoothly corporately. And then we have to move smoothly on a corporate level. A corporate level. How many times are you going to say that? So it's, and usually there was an impending storm or battle. Well, how do we, the battle's already been won, but we're in the battle right now. We're in the end times. People get all weirded out about the end times. Don't get weirded out. We already know who wins. We already know the end. We're here to help others come to the winning side. That's pretty exciting to me. I want to be on that team. I don't want to think about what I'm going to miss out on. I want to think about how many people are coming with us. Amen? When we get on the same path, the same mission, you can have all hands on deck. But I want you to hear something. When he says all hands on deck, y'all have watched movies. What was that movie? Oh, I'm supposed to stay in the camera. Perfect Storm. Right? All hands on deck. They were having a storm. Everybody had to get it. He didn't say, finish cooking your meal. Finish doing this. Finish doing that. No, when he says all hands on deck, that means I'm ready to drop and run. I need to be ready to run. Amen?
Amen.
Do we agree? Yeah. All hands on deck means doesn't matter what you got going on. It's time to go. What is the captain telling you to do? My captain is Jesus. Who's your captain?
Jesus.
I've got this little sign that says my cardio workout is following Jesus. Seriously. Okay? It's my only cardio workout. But whatever he tells me to do, that's my workout. So when he says all hands on deck, I'm like, place me where you want to place me. Because here's the other thing I want you to see. When it's all hands on deck, you don't get to necessarily pick what you're doing. When it's all hands on deck, It's there's an emergency. You need to just do whatever I'm telling you to do. Does it mean scrubbing toilets? Does it mean cleaning up the boat? Does it mean sitting with people? What does it mean? I can't tell you because I don't have your instructions. The Lord does. But the Lord is saying all hands on deck. And so as I was getting ready to come over here tonight, and let me go here in Romans real quick. I'll give you a scripture here. Romans 12. I'm not even there myself. And I have scripture throughout, but I'm not going to take you to every single thing. I'm going to quote scripture as we go along. So it says, Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So you're not going to do the same thing as your neighbor. Pastor talked really great this morning, and I couldn't find my, if I drop it, it's not a big deal, right? Because I told him not to drop it. I was thinking about that the whole way in here. I'm like, I'm going to be the one to drop it. So we have two different clay pots. Couldn't find my other one. I have a clay pitcher, but I can't find it. So this is a vase, this is a bowl. Both have purposes. Both have things to do. This is not going to be the vase. You're not going to get many flowers in here. It could work. This isn't going to be the bowl. You can pour things, but you're not going to be able to sit things out. Look, the coloring is totally different on them because of the way the potter made them. So we each have a part to play. If I had my pitcher here, you know, the pitcher I have, it could be used as a vase. It could be used as a bowl. But its main purpose is to be used as a pitcher. Because can it be used as those other things for a season? Sure. So there may be seasons where you're doing things that aren't exactly your calling, but you're just pitching in and helping. Because that's what you do when it's all hands on deck. You pitch in, you help, you do what you can do. Maybe some of you are in a season like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what you do? Use me, Lord. Whatever I can do, use me. I don't care what it looks like. Maybe it's cleaning the church. Maybe it's going to the nursing home. Maybe it's whatever it could be. It's going to the streets. Whatever it is. But you're saying, use me. You're not just sitting still. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, so I'm just going to sit still. That's not God. He's never telling. And he's saying, all hands on deck. You might not know it, but you just say, Lord, I'm willing and I'm ready and I'm here. What do you want me to do? Amen? Amen? Thanks. So all hands on deck. Not everybody's going to do the same thing. So, you know, like literally right before I walked out the door, the Lord is saying, he was showing me this. I made this last week with my niece. Didn't even think about it, right? Wasn't even thinking about it. But I just kept hearing harvest time, harvest time, harvest time. She wanted to write fall. I think that's what we wrote. And I just kept hearing harvest time. So as I'm preparing this message, sitting in my living room, I look up and the Lord said, remember this? See, this is why it's all hands on deck. It's harvest time. Amen? Amen? It's harvest time. Not only is it harvest time in the spiritual, but if you grew up on a farm, it's harvest time in the natural too. And the Lord started reminding me of things. Like this week, my brother-in-law and my father-in-law, their harvest time is chopping. And it's all hands on deck. Even Pastor David's going to help this week because it's all hands on deck. They need as many people as they can. Does harvest time last forever? No. Hopefully just a week. 4 days. It's stressful during harvest time. I'm going to tell you what. Let me tell you what happens when it's all hands on deck. In my family, it was when it was time to pick corn, pick wheat, whatever you had to do. Combine wheat. Sorry, I just said pick wheat. Don't pick wheat. You didn't see your dad for the whole week. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. My dad didn't get home until midnight. We never complained about it. You know why? Because we knew it was harvest time. And in harvest time, there is no schedule. There is no schedule. You wanted to see my dad when Pastor was working on the farm? If I wanted to see him, I took his meals to him and rode in the truck with him because it was all hands on deck. I even drove a dump truck for a little bit. My father-in-law was very nice, and I said, I'll do whatever, but I'm not a dump truck driver. I am not good at those things. I can drive a tractor. But you know what? It didn't matter about how well I was. My heart was to help my family. So all hands on deck, maybe you're not the best at what it is. But if the Lord is saying, are you willing? You only have to be willing and obedient. So where is your heart during this harvest time? Maybe you're saying, Pastor Lacey, I have been willing and obedient. Yeah, but I think some people have been trying to stay where they were before, and that's not the season the Lord is calling you to right now. I believe that the Lord has an individual assignment for you right now. And if you keep trying to do it the old way, maybe you're down below deck and you're not even on the deck. But you think you are because, well, I've been doing this and I'm going to keep laboring at that. But maybe that's not even where the Lord wants you right now. So if you stop to ask the Lord, has my assignment changed? What am I supposed to do? What can I help with? I hear a lot of people say, And I'm going to step on some toes here in a second. I'm sorry. I'm tired of waiting on I'm tired of waiting on tables. You know what? I go through seasons of waiting on tables because I'm going to do whatever the Lord's asked me to do. So he wants me to wait on tables? Great. He wants me to study all the time? Great. Whatever it is that he has for me, that's what I'm going to do. And right now, it's harvest time. And it's not just harvest time for souls. It's harvest time for the seed that you have planted in the ground. And it takes everyone to bring it in. I was reminded that a few weeks ago, the Lord showed me this vision of Jesus standing at the gate saying, "Come home." He was yelling, "Come home." And all of a sudden, I'm remembering harvest time. And I think I even preached it. You know, as people are coming home, some of them are limping through the gate. They're not running through the gate. That's why it's all hands on deck, because they need love. They need care. Are you going to be willing to do that? Or you say, that's not my place. I can't love on the people. That's your choice. You have to make that decision. But you must be fully surrendered to drop everything and say yes, because there's an urgency. Pastor talked this morning about the potter's clay. You know, clay, you can't do anything with clay unless it's pliable. And I was reading this morning, it got me intrigued. I was thinking about when pottery goes in a kiln, can you take it out and make it pliable? Nope. It's done. And I really believe that's when you take your last breath. It's done. You can't be pliable anymore. Choose to stay pliable. Choose to say, "Lord, whatever, I am your willing vessel." In John 12, let's go here, John 12, 25. Being fully surrendered, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. When it's all hands on deck, you're not looking back. We talked about that scripture a while ago. Anybody that looks back is not fit for the kingdom. It's time to move forward. It's time to say, you say, "Well, I've already surrendered my life." I can honestly tell you, even what Pastor talked about this morning about the potter's clay, you constantly have to surrender every single thing to the Lord because you get comfortable. I don't care who you are, you get comfortable. You've gone through a rough patch, you finally get overflow, you get comfortable. You don't want to go back. Ask me sometime, tell you a story about shopping at Aldi. I never was going back because we shopped there when we were really poor, but now I shop at Aldi, right? But I didn't want to go back. You can't look back, you can only look forward. So he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Serving the Lord means laying it all down. That's what it is. Serving the Lord is laying it all down. In times of change, and I've been feeling this for months, that we are in a shift, right? Things are shifting. Things are happening. I know people are like, listen, I've been in that place. I'm not sure what to do. I made this decision a few months ago. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I made a decision. Whatever this man, who is, yes, my husband, but he's my pastor, whatever my pastor asked me to do, I'm going to do it. So this week he was jammed up. Can you preach? I didn't want to preach tonight. But I said, by serving the Lord, I'm serving him too. By serving him, I'm serving the Lord. I said that backwards. By serving him, I'm serving the Lord. And so I made a decision. Whatever he asked of me, I'm going to do it. No matter if I feel like it or not, because I'm going to fully surrender and serve the Lord because he's the authority over me. So I've decided that's what I'm going to do. So that's why I'm standing here right now. 2 hours before I walked out the door, I'm like, "Oh, I just don't want to do it." I've had a migraine all day. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I had a migraine all day. I had all these other issues. And I was like, no, because no spirit of infirmity can attack me. Right now, I feel great up here. See, that's what the enemy does. Tries to keep you. But when you say, "I'm going, I'm doing it no matter what," then it just made me angry. I just started walking around my house preaching to myself. Because you have to build yourself up. But you're not going to be all hands on deck if you're moved by your feelings and your emotions. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm too tired. Blah, 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 blah. We all have got the excuses. Don't look at me like that, because everybody's got them. We've all got them. But when you make that decision, "I'm fully surrendered, Lord, use me," then I'm going to do it no matter how I feel. No matter how I look, I'm just going to throw on some more concealer. You know, I'm going to get up and keep moving so I don't scare people. It doesn't matter how you got to laugh. This is life. You have to make a decision. I'm going to be the hand on deck doing whatever the Lord has called me to be, no matter what my circumstances, no matter how I feel, no matter what my family says about me, no matter what people are requiring of me. I serve the King, and I'm coming on deck, and I'm doing whatever it is He asked me to do, even if I don't know how to do it. There's a lot of things I don't know how to do, but I'm going to do it because He will mold me, He will show me, He will teach me. I love to learn new things. I was looking at Lauren's post earlier, and she said CJ was teaching her how to weld, and I'm like, that's it. She said, Coach, send me in. Send me in. Come on. That's what I'm saying. Put me in. If nobody else will go, I'll do whatever. I don't know anything about a ship, so I cannot even use any of those terms. But I'll drive a dump truck. I know harvest time. That's about all I know. Show me. I'll do it. In times of change, it's easy to step back when you're not sure what to do. Well, Pastor Lacey, I don't know how to get on deck. I don't know what to do. I'm not good at any of that. Let me tell you something. The temptation to stay seated and not do anything is not good. Because all hands on deck means you're doing something. All hands on deck does not mean I'm just going to stay in my place and pray. No, all hands on deck is doing something. Praying is good, but it's about faith going out. In 2 Samuel 11:1, and if you've never heard this before, you know, it might rock your world, but I think most of you have heard it. If you know about David and Bathsheba, everybody know about David and Bathsheba? Okay, great. So, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Where was David supposed to be? On the battlefield. That's where David was supposed to be. And then what happened? He was tempted by Bathsheba. And then he had one of his top guards killed to make up for his mistake because Bathsheba conceived a child. I heard a minister say one time, if you think your marriage is so bad, read about David. Come on. You haven't gone through that. Read about David. Also, read about David. He was a man after God's own heart. But do you see what the temptation was? It doesn't say why he saved him. This is Pastor Lacey's like translation paraphrase. He was comfortable. They can take care of it. I don't need to go. When God is saying all hands on deck, you may be tempted to say, I'll just send someone else. He didn't say send someone else. He said, you all hands on deck. Well, I'll just let someone else do what the Lord's telling me to do. I'll raise somebody else up to do it. Yeah, well, you got to do your part. The Lord will raise that person up, not you. It's not your job to raise somebody up. The person's gift makes room for them. Your job is to do what God's calling you to do, and you need to stay in that place. But look what happened. Sin came because of that temptation, because he stayed home. Had he been on the battlefield, he never would have been tempted by Bathsheba, and that would have never happened. Amen? So don't get comfortable or bored with your assignment, and you try to put someone else there. No, you do what the Lord tells you to do. You must be willing to do whatever the captain says. All parts of the body are not going to look like you think. Maybe you're not going to do what you think. There's been a lot of times I do things that's not what I was thinking I was going to do. But praise God, I'm going to do what he tells me to do. In Exodus, and we go here a lot, but there was so much to unpack in this for me today as I was reading it. In Exodus 17:12, it says, now this is when they went out to fight. I'm really bad at saying these things. Amalek, thank you. If you start back in verse 8, it says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. There you go. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him. I want you to see something. When the leader said what for Joshua to do, did he argue with him? No. Did he say, why are you sending me? No. He just went. That's being obedient. He went. And sometimes these messages are hard because I know we're leaders. I'm not telling you this so that you obey me. I'm telling you this so that you have the blessing of the Lord because I want you to see what happened because he didn't argue with Moses. He didn't say, why are you sending me? He went. It says he went and he did it. He said, so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Moses was faithful to do what he said he was going to do. And so it was when Moses lifted up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Before I keep going, we were talking about working together in the body. Who was more important, Joshua or Moses? They were equal. They both had a part. Joshua had to be on the battlefield. Moses had to be up on the hill. Who else was there? Aaron and Hur. Let's go on to them. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. I want you to see something. Did Moses tell Aaron and Hur what to do? No. They saw he was in need. It was all hands on deck. They said, what do I need to do? I'm here. Do you think it was a glorious job to hold up his arms? Do you think that they didn't think, just give me the rod. I'll stand here. I'll hold it up. You take a break and go and rest. No, they didn't do that. They came alongside of him and said, what can I do? We have a tendency in the body to say, you go sit down for a second, I'll just take over doing it. That's not working together. That's usurping and taking over. If the Lord tells you, that person will have that. But when we come together as a body, all hands on deck, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? Where do I need to go? That's working together in unity. And we're going to talk about unity. But I want you to see something. Every single person was necessary. Was Moses necessary? Yes. If Moses would have just stood up there and held up his hands, would the battle have been won if there was no soldiers on the field? No. There had to be soldiers on the field. If Aaron and Hur hadn't been there, would they have won? No, because Moses needed help holding up his hands. They were all necessary. No job was higher than the other. They were just all in the place that God called them to be. Are we getting anything out of this, or it's just me shouting up here? All right, great. Okay. Also notice they weren't all trying to do the same thing. All the soldiers didn't say, we'll just go stand on the hill with you. And Moses didn't, and Aaron and Hur didn't say, we'll just go down and fight the battle. They need two more people. They stayed in their positions. They stayed with what they were supposed to do. Working together, there was unity. And all were willing and watched what happened. What happened? They defeated the Amaleks and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it his name. Notice what happened. Who did God tell to build the altar? Who did he tell? Moses. He told Moses. And what did Moses do? He obeyed. All in unity, all working together, all hands on deck. We all came together. We all worked together. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Excuse me. In Acts 2:44. If you feel like I'm telling you you're not doing enough, that's not what I'm saying. If you feel like I'm telling you you're not surrendered, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying now is the time, and the time is to say, Lord, I'm willing to be. All the Lord told me was all hands on deck. And I'm just finding scriptures to go along with what he's saying, and I'm just showing you the blessing of doing what the Lord says. Also, there's a tendency, especially in America, I'm a one-man show, I can do it all myself, and that is not how God ever designed it. God designed it for us to be a body to work together. He designed us to be a family. A body is a family. If your right hand's trying to do something that your brain is telling it not to do, it's not really going to go that well. But when you all work together in unity, look what can happen. You know, you get on a bicycle, and your legs want to kick behind you like you're swimming, and your arms want to pedal on the... It's not going to work. But when you work together in unity with your body to ride the bicycle, you get down the road, right? But you're not fighting amongst yourselves. That's not what you're supposed to do. And it's not, I'm not talking about just here at New Freedom. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. This is a message for the body, of Christ. This is not just a new freedom. Yes, new freedom has a part to play, and the all hands on deck is important because each of you have a part to play here at New Freedom, but each of you also have, as you play a part here at New Freedom, you're playing a part in the kingdom of God. And as we play our part in the kingdom of God, watch what's going to happen as the harvest rolls in. Watch what's going to happen with what the Lord has said to do. I believe that we are in the greatest time of a harvest time. You are getting ready to see things that we have never seen before. I believe wealth is going to be transferred into the kingdom. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I believe souls are coming in. You look at, there are so many stories right now of people being totally set free on the streets. We've had it here in the church, people being totally set free from alcohol. Look at the quick work the Lord is doing. I saw something else the other day. I saw a story today. Somebody that's been believing for something for 18 years, and it happened just like that. We are going to see more and more of that happening. It is time, and it's all hands on deck for everything that is happening. In Acts 2, 44, it says, "Now all who believed were together." I forgot to quantify this. All hands on deck. We're not getting on deck with the world. We're getting on deck as the body. Okay? We're working together. There's a lot of people like, oh, we're going to save the world, blah, blah, blah. No. You're not getting on board with the world. You're getting on board with the kingdom. You're working in unity with the body of Christ. You witness to the world, but you're working together with the body of Christ. Because the Lord is getting ready to call out the body of Christ. And you are working together in unity with the body. You're not part of the world. You know that scripture that says, I'm not of this world. So you shouldn't be working along with the world. You shouldn't be in unity with where the world's going. You're not. There's a lot of great community projects, and I'm not against that. But now is the time we are working for the kingdom. That's it. The kingdom. The kingdom. Lots of good community outreaches. That whole thing that says it takes a village. And no village raising my kid except the body of Christ. I got a kingdom family. That's who's helping me, but not the world. No one else is helping me, okay? So you have to make that decision. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. That's all hands on deck. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. We're coming all together. We're coming all together. Whatever you have need of, I'm going to help you. Whatever you have need of, I'm going to help you. Praise God. That's all hands on deck. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I want you to see something. It wasn't difficult. It wasn't difficult. It says simplicity of heart and with gladness. They weren't upset about it. They weren't, oh, I got to see you again. No, they were happy to be together, praising God and having favor with all people. There is something about unity because they had all things in common and they were in unity. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Praise God. I love all the book of Acts because I love unity because God loves unity. That's the thing. God loves unity. They didn't consider themselves. They didn't consider their own needs because they trusted and wanted to take care of one another. Our God is a selfless God. Come on, he laid down his life for us. Those are characteristics we need to take on. You know, I look at people in foreign countries that have nothing, and they give everything, whereas America, we hold on to it all, and I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not going to go there. That's in the... Okay. Anyway, Acts 4:29. This is after Peter and John were told they couldn't preach Jesus. Here's the thing. Well, all hands on deck, the storm might look a certain way, but you're not going to be moved by it because you've made a decision. I'm staying on this deck. I'm staying here to help no matter what the waves look like. The Lord's been telling me there's a lot of things that are happening that are really smoke screens. Do you know what a smoke screen means? They're not really real. So when I say no matter what those waves look like, they're not real. They can't touch you. They might come to you and say, if you go to church, you're going to be arrested. If you go preach to people, you're going to be arrested. I don't care. If the Lord tells me to go do it, I'm doing it. And that's what Peter and John said. Peter and John answered them when they said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you, More than to God you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So then they were let go. And then if we go down to verse 29, it says, Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, now I want you to know something. They were with other believers. It wasn't just the two of them. They came together with other believers. And when they had prayed, the place where they were shaken together with they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. That's unity. One heart, one soul. That's all hands on deck, because they're all together for one purpose. They said, grant us boldness that we may go. That's being together. That's all hands on deck. I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm here, let's go. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. That's all hands on deck. I've surrendered it all. I don't care what I was doing before. I've surrendered it all. I am here for whatever you have need of. But they had all things in common. There's that word again. And with great power, excuse me, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any among them who lacked. So they gave everything, and did anybody lack? No. There was no lack, because they considered nothing their own. It was all for the body. For all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of the things that were sold, laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed them to each one as had to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, if you read into the next chapter, you'll see that some people came and they lied about what they did. Did God ask him to do it? No. They chose to do it, but then they lied about it. And it didn't turn out really well for them. And the Lord reminded me that here's the deal. And Pastor brought the scripture up this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Because I want you to see something. God didn't ask them to sell all that. That was a heart thing. They decided to do it. It was in their heart to do it. 2 Corinthians 9:7. We quote this all the time about giving. But I want you to see something. When it says all hands on deck, that's what the Lord's speaking, but you have to make the choice. He isn't going to force you. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We talk about this all the time in giving, but it's not just giving your finances, it's giving your time, it's giving all you have. It's your decision to say, I'm willing to serve. Are you doing it grudgingly? Well, I guess I'll just do it to make the Lord happy. That sounds like Eeyore off of Winnie the Pooh. Well, I guess I'll just do it. No. You're like, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do. Yes, Lord. Did I wake you up? Yes, Lord. Jump. Yes. It's hot in here, man. I'm roasting. They put me to sleep. Yes, Lord, but not grudgingly. Oh, I guess I have to. You know, people come to me all the time and say, well, so I have to tithe? No, you don't have to tithe. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. You make that decision whether you want to follow the Lord and receive the blessing. Oh, I have to go to church. No, don't come to church grudgingly, because God isn't looking at that. He's like, why are you even doing it? Yeah. Have you ever had somebody do something for you and they're like, well, I don't have anything to give you. I guess I'll just give this to you. Do you really? I'm like, just keep it. Have you ever had that? Somebody like give you something, but there's like all these strings attached, or like you can tell they didn't really want to do it. I don't even want it. Because I don't want you to give it to me grudgingly. I love it when people try to give me something and I didn't even ask them for it, and then they're grudgingly about it. I'm like, I didn't even ask you for it. Like, I don't know what you're upset with me about. Well, that's the Lord. He doesn't want you to be grudgingly or of necessity, but a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver of your time, cheerful giver of your talents, cheerful giver of your finances, yes, but it's so much more than your finances. It's your life. I'm going to be a cheerful giver of my life. There's so many people that are like, listen, I could walk around like, well, you know, I walked away from everything. I did this, I did that. No, I'm like, praise God. Praise God he saw willing and fit to call me to do it. I'm laying it all down because his ways are better. Because everything right here is temporal. It's temporary. All the things that we miss, that we supposedly missed out on, we didn't miss anything. If you feel like following God has caused you to miss out on stuff, you've missed it in your heart because you're caught up on the things of the world and not what God has for you. I challenge you to start looking at the blessing of what the Lord has given you. But where is your heart? Is your heart for the things of this world, or is your heart for the things of God? Because start looking at souls that have been saved. Start looking at people's lives that have been touched. Look at all of those things, and man, you're the richest person in the world. See, when you're all hands on deck and you're all working together, you're accomplishing a goal. What is the goal we're accomplishing? Plundering hell and populating heaven. We've come to set the captives free. It has nothing to do with, oh boy, I'm going to step one more toe. Thank you, Jesus. It has nothing to do with how many sports your kids are in, how many family events you go to, who you just, we live on the Eastern Shore. These are big deals. These are big deals on the Eastern Shore. Family is a big deal. Yeah, but I'm going after the kingdom of God. Okay? It's not about all the sports my kids can do. I don't care how many goals they got in lacrosse and all that stuff. It's all great. But if they don't know God, that's more important to me. And if I say I'm going to wait and then they're going to come to the Lord, what if I don't get time for that? The time is now. I believe that's why the Lord is saying all hands on deck now. You're like, well, shouldn't it have always been all hands on deck? You got to talk to the Lord about that. I'm only giving you what the Lord gave me. And this is what I know. All hands on deck is only for a season. You don't live in this urgency forever. But there's an urgency right now. And I believe that we need to ask ourselves, because I was like, Lord, what does this look like? You know what it looks like? It looks like when you go to the grocery store, Lord, I'm your vessel here, right now. So the Lord tells you to pay for someone's groceries, or the Lord tells you to go speak to that person. Are you all hands on deck? Because we can't all be everywhere at once. That's why we're the body. Like, I'm going to the nursing home, that's great. But if everybody in the church is like, I want to go to the nursing home, well, what about the people on the streets? What about the people in the jails? What about the people at your work? If we're all at the same place, we're not doing what the body needs to do. We all need to be where the Lord is calling us to go. But there's also things at home to take care of. All hands on deck means mopping the floors, whatever. I don't know what you do on a boat. I guess I should research this a lot more. I don't know anything about a boat. But swab, that's what I was looking for, that word, swab. I only know Peter Pan, you know. It's like for battles, I know Narnia, and for boats, I know Peter Pan. I'm not doing very good here. I don't know. Yeah, I know. I wasn't big on all that stuff. Okay, yep, thank you, Lord. Lord's like, oh, dear Lord. Okay, Psalm 133:1. We're talking about unity. We go here a lot, too, but I love this scripture. In Psalm 133:1, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It says, true spiritual unity, this is a note in my Bible, true spiritual unity flows from the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people. Indeed, it is very good and pleasant for our Lord's children to live together in deep spiritual unity. You know, we miss out, like, we're like, well, their personality is not really for me. You don't have to like every person. You just have to be in spiritual unity. You're unified because of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, when it's all hands on deck, if you're on deck arguing with someone about their personality or arguing with them about how they're doing something, it ain't going to go well. Because where's your focus? Not on the mission, but on the little itty-bitty task. There, you don't need to worry about that. You need to just do what the Lord is calling you to do. In Psalm 92:13, let's go there. Those who, Psalm 92:13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. When you say, I'm willing to be on deck, I'm willing to do whatever you've called me to do, you are planted in the house of the Lord, and you shall flourish in the courts of God. And the other reason I wanted to bring this up is there's a lot of people that say, well, I'm just too old, I'm too tired. Well, you know what? It says if you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will still bear fruit in old age. You're not withered up and dead. You're still bearing fruit. You will bear fruit until your dying day if you are willing and obedient. And I think about Brother Rick's mom. Till her dying breath, she literally was sharing Jesus with every single person that walked through that door. She was bearing fruit right up until the end. Even the vision she had at the end bore fruit in that. So it says, they shall be fresh and flourishing. Flourishing means you're not withered up, you're not dried up, you're flourishing. That means you have more than enough when you're flourishing. It means you have all the fertilizer you need, you're green, you're not dried up, dark, wrinkled, and brown. You're flourishing. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. To declare that the Lord is upright and he is my rock. If you can say he is my rock, that means he's your foundation. Nothing else will move you. When you are on the rock, you are immovable. So when he says all hands on deck, you say, okay, Lord, tell me where, tell me what to do. I'm ready. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, praise God. So it's harvest time. It's time for all hands on deck. Are you going to be one of the hands on deck? Are you willing and obedient? Are you ready to be on deck? Are you ready for whatever your captain says? This is what I need done. He says, today I need you to go do this. And you say, yes, Lord, I'm going. You will see the fruit of it. And this is what I know. As you serve the Lord and you take direction from him, your life will be so fulfilled. David's life was not fulfilled. See, when he set home, he was bored. That's where temptation came from. We have it so opposite. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know what I can do. But when you start serving the king and you start doing what he's asking you to do, you will have such fulfillment. You know, when Miss Jeannie was up here sharing about being a soul winner, and she's like, I'm addicted, right? People get so nervous about it. But once you experience it and you walk in what the Lord has called you to do, you will have a fulfillment that no job, no filled bank account, not the perfect spouse, not the perfect children, none of that will fulfill you like it does when you fulfill what God has called you to do. Amen? Amen. So right now he's saying all hands on deck. You can put some music on. You can thank you for joining us online. Come visit us sometime. You can. We'll see them next week. Amen. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that we are willing and obedient. We are ready and willing to do whatever it is that you ask of us, Lord. We are here for you.